I'm a fool, but I'll love you, dear, until the day I die. Now and then, there's a fool such as I.
Everybody, welcome to Hate House, episode 31. This week, he is back from his cross-country plumbing expedition. Luigi has returned home. I am joined by Johnny Monoxide. How are you doing, good friend?
What's happening, dude? I'm an electrician, not a plumber, you asshole.
Well, it was a Mario joke, and, you know, I know. Italians, plumbers, pizza, lol. We have
Mamma Mia.
Yes, a returning guest. We got the Pitbull hating Great Ape Nikki. How are you doing, my friend?
Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. Fantastic.
Awesome.
And our guest this week, back by popular demand, and I'm very glad to have him back. We got Asmodor from the Daily Stormer and the Crypto Report. How you doing, man?
Oh, doing good. I'm the pit bull loving Asmodor. My pit bull's right here beside.
Oh, no. No. Every time somebody says that, something bad happens within a month.
And I got to tell you, my pit bull is smarter than your honor student. So anyway.
I see those bumper stickers.
But no, I mean, yes, I am a pit bull lover, but let's not get into all that. I am happy to be back. I really, really enjoyed my last appearance. Glad to be back with you guys.
Well, I'm fucking glad that you enjoyed it, because this week we have a number of things. We got these. I guess Guillermo del Toro isn't a kike, but he is a non-white piece of shit. Had the video, you know, immigrants. You want to fuck a fish person, white women? Go ahead. It's for you. But, to one-up you on that, the HuffPo went and had a review of it from a guy who actually had sex with a dolphin. We're going to start off there this week. So, the thing is this. There's a gentleman named Malcolm J. Brenner, who in 2010 released an autobiographical novel called Wet Goddess. So a few years later, this motherfucker was the subject of an award-winning documentary called Dolphin Lover. Because, yes, he loved a dolphin. Not only was it I love going to SeaWorld because Shamu the Whale puts on a good show. He loved dolphins because he actually liked to stick his dick in them. So, in 1970, this asshole was a college sophomore, and he was given open access to the now-defunct theme park, Floridaland, near Sarasota, to take photos for a book about the dolphin show. And there is when he claims that Dolly the Dolphin, very original, began courting him. Fucking courting him, dude.
Well, there are those of us who have always said that if you normalize the idea of a man putting his penis in another man's butthole as normal, and you get people to accept this, that you're only one step away from normalizing pedophilia and necrophilia and bestiality, and I think we've been proven correct here.
Well, the thing is that this guy says that it's not really bestiality, because bestiality implies that, you know, it's just a sexual thing. Like, you just go up and stick your dick in an animal and walk away and not give a fuck. See, this guy says that he developed romantic feelings for an animal. So, he says that in 1970, it's nuts, right? The dolphin was courting him, so she would rub her genital slit against me, he says, in Dolphin Lover. The dolphin fucker.
She was axing for it.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, dude, so he's like,
didn't see what she was wearing.
Yeah. She was begging me to do it. He said, I tried to push her away, but she would get very fucking angry with me. So one time she wanted to masturbate on my foot, Johnny, and I wouldn't let her. So she threw herself on top of me and pushed me to the bottom of the 12-foot bottom of the pool.
Look, dude, if you're gonna drown, if it's either drown or fuck a dolphin, I don't know. Like,
if Shamu can't have you, no one can have.
That's right. Now, to be like I said earlier, we were talking about this in the pregame. Dolphins are pretty aggressive sexual animals. I know people that work with them in the bomb squads and whatever. Doing the searching for mines and whatever, and on the sides of ships and whatnot. And whenever they bring a new dolphin into the pool, they have to keep them separated with like a fence or whatever for at least a month, because otherwise the other porpoises will rape the new one basically to death.
Well, I think that I think Asmodor said it best before the show about what did you say? They are the
I said apparently dolphins are the niggers of the
niggers of the ocean.
but look, it just occurred to me, looking at what this guy's saying. I mean, how many of you have had a dog hump your leg? Okay, now if some woman
who
has
hasn't.
A dog, Right. Now, say the dog is humping a woman's leg, and you find out that the woman has been banging this dog, and you're like, "Well, what? Why are you banging this dog?" And he's like, "Well, he was like humping my leg all the time and stuff, and I really kind of developed an emotional relationship with him, and so it was just the next like obvious thing to do."
Right. It's natural.
None of it. Yeah, I mean, and for the guy, and this shows you the leftist mind that, Huffington Post, they didn't post this thing like a shock piece that, like, you're supposed to go, oh, my God, let's run out and lynch this fucker, this sick fuck or whatever. It's like, listen to what the guy has to say. He's really reasonable about this. I mean, we really should kind of open our minds and all. Well, no, I mean, the guy is, the fact that he's telling you that this wasn't some kind of just sick, perverted thing where he wanted something to bang and he went and banged this freaking dolphin. I mean, he's making, I had an emotional relationship, a trans species emotional relationship with this dolphin. I mean, the dolphin was like my girlfriend. I really should be allowed to legally marry the dolphin.
Yeah.
And, when you're letting two homosexual men who have fallen in love with each other's butthole go out and get government documents saying they're married, same as a husband and wife. I mean,
there's a better parallel than, gays. I mean, honestly, when you think about it, we should have seen this coming, because we already allow legally interspecies marriage. I mean, I go to Walmart, there's niggers and white women all over the place.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I saw somebody was linking. It was either a story on a website or it was linked in a forum I was looking at. But like, somebody was showing her this story from Africa where they'd gotten some black guy had gotten some poor female orangutan and shaved it and was putting like makeup on it and stuff. And the other black guys in the village were paying him to have sex with it and everything. And they were like, this is, and everybody's going like the poor orangutan having to bang these niggers. But
did it cure their AIDS? That's a real question.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, I mean, it's the same thing, I guess. You're not even really one step away from copulating with orangutans or gorillas or whatever when you're saying that it's okay to mix with blacks.
Well, it's funny that you bring up mixing with blacks, because this guy, Malcolm Brenner, is also drawing parallels between current anti-bestiality laws and the anti-miscegenation laws of the 19th and 20th centuries, because as he says in the documentary, he says, 150 years ago, niggers were considered a degenerate subspecies of the human being, and I'm hoping that in a more enlightened future, zoophilia will no longer be regarded as controversial or harmful than interracial sex is today.
To be fair, it's still considered that in some circles.
Well, in a more enlightened future, they won't be considered human.
Can you repeat that quick? You broke up for just a second.
In a more enlightened future, they wouldn't be considered.
Did you say human at all? It broke up again. God damn it.
Yes. In a more enlightened future, they would not be considered human species or otherwise.
So, yeah, and the thing is here, they're saying, I hope that it won't be regarded as more controversial or harmful than interracial sex is today. Implying that interracial sex today is not harmful, because there are constantly niggers that are beating up fucking white women. And we're going to get into a few of these stories later, but... I read a really disturbing article about pornography, interracial porn yesterday on the Daily Stormer, about that nigger Rico Strong making that white bitch dress up in a Democrat t-shirt, and he just beat the shit out of her and like fucked her and sent her to the hospital.
Made her eat a bunch of apples to puke and all.
Yeah. drink water and eat these apples to puke on my black dick. Like, yeah. Jesus fucking Christ, dude.
White bitch.
You a smart white hoe. What did feminism ever do for niggers like me? You know what I'm saying? So
apparently it provided them with a bunch of stupid white bitches to copulate with. Yeah,
dude, God yep. fucking damn it. So this dickhead, Malcolm Brenner, he says that, little thing here, he says that he believes his zoophilia is the result of a very intense and physical and sexual abuse that he claims to have suffered at the hands of Albert Duvall, who was a student of Wilhelm Reich. You may know the name, from, you know, Nazi Germany, where they were burning all that asshole's books. He says that he thinks this dude thought that he found animals to be a safe and secure repository for his sexual desires. But, I guess we can hop right into... He gave a little bit of a review here. We read the plot last week.
Well, all I have to say is this man is very brave and very inspiring. And I'm looking forward to... miniseries on Lifetime about his relationship with the dolphin and how it helped him overcome. Right,
that's the only channel that would pick that up.
And how it helped him overcome the abuse that he suffered at the hand of the Nazis. Yeah.
So to hop into the review that he gave to The Shape of Water, which basically boils down to white women fuck fish, he says, "My overall impression was that this is an unabashedly romantic fantasy. Like, I fantasize over this." HuffPost says, "How so?" He says, "Oh, well, Jesus, the whole setting, the elaborately evil and oppressive institution, the notion of a couple washerwomen going up against a big whatever it was, big military, I guess, the godlike fish being that is ugly in a beautiful sort of way. Or beautiful in an ugly sort of way. That makes no fucking sense. But just to stop there, the godlike fish being. So in this movie, they talk about the this fish person is presented as like the immigrant prototype. You know, this is to have natives fuck immigrants.
Yeah.
And they're talking about the godlike fish being. So they're putting the nigger on the same level of as a god type thing. You know what I mean? The godlike nigger being, the immigrant that we want our women to fuck. He thought that they did a very good job of conveying that, and he found himself alternately attracted. This guy was attracted to the fish guy.
He was attracted to the fish guy in the movie?
Yeah, that's what he's saying here. I was attracted and repulsed by him. He thought that he thought that the fish guy, that the romance developed too quickly, so he was a fast ass ho fish nigga, you know what I'm saying?
Oh wow.
Well that
this really that... I'm gonna say this really oogas my boogas. Like seriously.
Well that description of is so ugly it's attractive or whatever, the only place you ever when people are talking about like that really ugly little dog that looks like it has mange, or like those cats that don't have any hair and really wrinkled skin and stuff that look like they have some kind of disease, they're like, "Oh, well, it's so ugly it actually makes it cute," you know, or whatever. And to sexualize something like that, I mean, geez, I don't know what to say. These Jews have really pushed this stuff a long way. And that's exactly what this is. This is the Jews are going to push the fucking pause button until something blows up in their face about it. And I can't imagine that most of the movie watching public out there, whatever's left of it, is down for all these narratives about interspecies sex and everything.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're not down with OFP, old fish pussy? Then, like, you're a nasty bigot, you know what I'm saying?
Now, come on, to be fair, let's be fair now, because the Wakanda movie has grossed over $1 billion.
Yeah, well, so, let's actually
people
just,
are still watching movies.
Let's talk about that for a second. Yeah. There was a great article on The Stormer. I'm sorry to cut you off there.
Well, that just proves that the movie theaters now make EBT cards.
Well, that and
you
like,
know what's funny is ticket sales are $1 billion, but concessions are at like $42.50.
Yeah,
niggers don't ever buy popcorn. They bring that shit in with them.
Oh yeah. Like there's nothing that like the old dollar theaters that you used to see everywhere that would show the show's second run. There's nothing they blacks because the only way they made money was selling Cokes and popcorn. Like the blacks always come in like in army jackets with grape sodas and shit in
two bags of pork rinds and yep.
Well, guys,
yeah, I got my hot Cheetos. I don't need that shit.
Now, here's what we need: open a theater that takes EBT. That would fucking make some money right there.
Well, apparently there's a whole nation network.
Excuse me, the whole nation of what?
A whole nationwide network of them already, because I mean it's Wakandans going to see this.
There's only that's the only way that this could happen. I mean, well you got to remember that this is a movie, you know, this is a fiction that this whole entire, you know, 13% of our population is considering you know, historical fact.
Well, guys, and what you're saying here, Johnny, it's so funny because Fought Doppler sent me this picture earlier. It says, courtesy of the Daily Mail Online, hotel booking sites report that searches for fictional country of Wakanda from the Black Panther movie are up 620%. Like, there are niggers looking for hotels in Wakanda.
Yeah,
shut
you know,
the fuck up, really?
I'm not kidding, dude.
Yeah, well, that's, you know,
niggers, dude.
And before you know it, every black person on black Twitter is going to be claiming that Wakanda actually existed, if it doesn't still exist in secret somewhere. And you're never going to be able to convince them that a bunch of Jews and Stan Lee and all these guys came up with that dog shit.
Well, I mean,
right.
Let's think about. I mean, is it bad? Like, would that be a bad thing if blacks would honestly just believe that Wakanda is a real fucking place?
Well, we should have a Back to Wakanda program for them. You know, and
we tried once.
Well, no, Back to Wakanda, and
the thing, Asmodor, Wakanda sounds great, but the thing about Wakanda is that it's actually located at the bottom of the fucking ocean.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's down, it's next door to Atlantis. You know, the ocean floor, floor.
Wait a minute, we don't want them next to Atlantis. We don't want them to move it next door to Atlantis, taking the property values down.
It's totally segregated. The subterranean realm are totally racist and still segregated.
Well, see, Atlantis is Wakanda. We stole it from them, and we couldn't do it because we didn't know how to bathe, so it sank.
Well,
that's
right.
What ended up happening.
Well, you can't blame us for not knowing how to bathe because we don't live. And see, but yeah, I mean, it's that's the danger of these movies. Blacks go to see them and they think, wow, we really did all this shit.
Yeah, they also believe that there were flying pyramids at one point, too.
There weren't?
That reminds me of the New Memphis group. We're going to have to call that the Pyramid Kings or something.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The Bass Pro Shop Kings.
Fuck yeah. Oh, come on, Bass Pro Shop. That's the widest place in the world. Come on.
It really is. I'm not mad about it. We took over. We retook the Great Pyramid at Memphis.
It was what, basketball or some shit? Now it's
I don't know what the fuck it was originally.
Well,
yeah, Bass Pro Shops.
Well, that pyramid is made out of that vibranium, or what it's called. That's why it's the only one still standing. It was actually built at the same time as all the rest of them. And like it, you know, all the other ones in America have disappeared. Whitey was able to destroy all of them, but this one.
Well, now see, when we brought slaves over here, they naturally knew how to build pyramids. So they got all their cotton and they just built the pyramid there out of cotton, like they built all of them with fucking cotton.
Yeah. Hey, let me tell you, just as an aside, that face to face, there is nothing like telling one of these "we built everything" blacks that America's not made out of cotton. They just freaked the fuck out when Spencer gave his speech at A&M. And I've got this on video somewhere. I've got like 8 hours of video from that day. I got just mobbed by blacks. It was like me and 4 or 5 other guys who had signs, and we were standing outside there, and they were all coming up to me. What about all these, you know, statistics I be reading? It says if it wasn't for the black economic power, America would be in a Great Depression and all that stuff. And the same black woman who was telling Spencer that they taught us during the speech that they taught us how to bathe and they taught us how to read and write and all that stuff, she came up and told me, "What you mean we ought to go back to Africa? We built this motherfucker." And I said, "America was not built out of cotton." And all of a sudden, they all just started chipping out. It was like something in an old black and white Tarzan movie where something made them all superstitious at once, and they just freak out.
Yeah, they're all pissed. They're like, "Osmodor, you son of a bitch!
what you mean? What you mean? America ain't for? We builded everything, y'all."
Yeah, you.
Which makes you wonder. I mean, since the South had such superior infrastructure, you know, we had all the railroads and industry and bridges and shit. How did we lose the Civil War? I mean, what with all the fucking cool shit the niggers built for us?
Well, you it's don't amazing, understand.
They didn't have slavery up north, so how did they?
Well, but they built it all up there too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to make sense. I mean,
they just built it and then went back to their slave homes.
I mean, you've got to remember, this is what blacks actually believe, and it gets crazier as the years go by. But the whole Nation of Islam thing, of course, was started by Elijah Muhammad. And Elijah Muhammad said that the white race was, you know, the blacks basically had global Wakanda. They were totally powerful. They could fly. They had these flying pyramids. They were going back and forth to the stars. They had unlimited energy, everything. Nobody needed no money. Everybody was perfect. But one day, an evil black scientist invented the white race, and we stole it all. And he says right in the, I can't remember the title of it, but the original Nation of Islam that he wrote in the 30s, that this was all revealed to him by angels who came in a UFO and picked him up and flew him all around the world and the universe and shit and explained all this to him.
It sounds like somebody needs to call the paranormies.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing I'm here.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I'm always down for going on the paranormies. But I have made an appearance on the two best episodes so far.
But we've got niggers flying, though, in pyramids, brother.
Like, this is true. Yeah. This is true.
Yeah, but seriously, I mean, this is the kind of shit. And you know, you can point out, you know, the white people have and do believe some crazy shit. But, I mean, just any old nigger can come along and make up a story about angels and flying saucers, and all of a sudden you've got alternative history.
Well, yeah, Asmodor, have you ever heard of something called soul? Like, niggers got soul, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they're super spiritual beings, you know? Disregard the rape and AIDS and domestic abuse and robbery and murder and...
They manifest this super spirituality they have in their dance moves that mimic apes fucking and their music that talks about shooting gats, selling crack, and banging hoes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have done a couple times on here where we'll read some rap lyrics and whatnot, and perhaps if we get to a break this time in the show, Maybe we'll pull up some rap lyrics that we can just read for the audience, because it's a fucking gold mine, the things that these niggers say and whatnot. Like, I remember listening to this one nigger beat, this jungle jive tune, where this coon says, yeah, there's niggers here, so you know that means that there's triggers here. It's like, oh, like, niggers and unregistered firearms, like... This is so typical. Typical of you niggers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've known this since high school. You know, I was the first generation of kids in my area that had to go to truly integrated schools.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, and I remember there was this black guy and this black girl in our class that were always kind of shooting at each other. And everybody would stop and listen because it was so retarded that it was hilarious. But the Negro mind was always perfectly on display there. It was Keisha was one of them's name. I think the other guy's name was Keith.
Oh my God, and, no way.
Yeah, and she said something to him that really got him. And he sat there, and you can see, like, he was thinking so hard for a comeback that it was like real physical exertion. His eyes were rolling back into his head. He was smacking his lips. And his comeback was, "I'll put my dick in your mouth."
Yeah. Dude, there was this nigger one time, right, when I was a kid, yeah. Okay? There was this
Wait, fucking... are you saying that his first response was to go straight to my dick? No way.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And it's like she's, you know, something like, "Boy, you so stupid and ugly and nappy and this and this and this." And one more, "I'll put my dick in your mouth."
Yeah, dude, it's really funny. It's fucking funny you say that, because when I was younger, right? So I live in a town of, there's probably like 3,200 people in the town I live in. And when I was about 13, 14 years old, there may have been like four niggers in this town. So I used to skateboard back in the day, like. Every single day, skateboarding was my life from like 12 to fucking 19. And in my younger years, I was skating with a buddy of mine named Shane. Well, there was this nigger. His name was Matt. And he's out in the parking lot by where we used to skate and shit. So we were all making fun of him the one day because he had his shirt off and he had this belly button that looked like his umbilical cord was still attached to him. And we're like, "Look at your belly button. You're fucking stupid. Like, you're a nigger. You're retarded and shit." And he's like, "Man, shit, you want it in your mouth?" I just remember this like stupid like 12-year-old nigger that looks like he's 57 years old wearing a fucking big puffy Raiders jacket. Like, with his sexual fucking predator father, like, standing beside him. But, oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, dude, it doesn't matter what they talk about. It just always go back to my dick, whether it's my belly button, my dick, my foot, whatever. It's, you know, it's going to be in your mouth.
Yeah, you want it in your mouth? You want it in your mouth?
It's an expression of their confusion at things they don't understand.
Yeah.
Which is basically everything.
When, if you think, like the fucking, like, you act like some nigger in school gets asked like a math question in like kindergarten. It's like, "Well, hey, Jeriquatrius, what is fucking like 1 + 7?
What did you say? Jeriquatrius?
Yeah, so Jeriquatrius, what is 1 + 7? Like, he's like, and he like pulls his dick out and puts it in the fucking table, and he like draws an outline like it's a fucking turkey for Thanksgiving, you know, the hand turkeys and such. But I don't know. Yeah, silly stories.
You know, when I worked at the adult bookstores, which I've written about this, you know, I worked at these adult bookstores in Dallas for a few months when I was like 20 or 21, and they had, you know, we had a rule. You had 21 to come in there, 18, you know, just to try to avoid liability, to put a sign on the store, 21 and up, you know. And these blacks would come in, you know, young blacks, and I'd ask them for their ID. And if they were actually below 21, they didn't want to give it. And I'd say, "Hey, you got an ID?" And they would immediately get a surly attitude. And this happened a bunch of times. And they would turn around and start unhooking their belt, go, "Yeah, I got ID. I'll show you ID, motherfucker.
My dick."
Yeah.
My dick.
Every fucking time.
Yeah. And, I mean, of course, I never let them get to the point of pulling out my dick. You know, I had, I had methods for dealing with them.
Well, that's why the black community has at least a 50% homosexuality rate, is because they're literally always showing each other their dicks and stuff. I mean, yeah, they really don't care.
Well, how many times have you heard niggers say something like on a television show or in a rap video or some shit somewhere? They'll be like, hey, shit, man, it ain't gay to have another nigga suck your dick. It's like, yeah, it is. That's gay as shit, yeah, my friend. It's gay as shit, nigga.
Gay.
Yeah, if you ever have to go to, like, prison, which I don't know why it ever does, but when you get in there, one of the first things you notice is that the blacks are all having sex with other men like monkeys on bath salts. I mean, it's just... And they'll tell you straight up, oh, man, some of them will say, well, it ain't gay. A nigga got to do what he got to do, you know, and they're talking about whichever. But a lot of them will say, well, shit, as long as I'm fucking, I ain't getting fucked. I ain't gay.
Yeah, well, shit, yeah. Well, man.
And it's not, even it's not even a prison rape thing. They're just willingly do it. They just naturally fall into it, you know?
That's the thing. Yeah. It's like, man, yo, hey, you don't know what I'd be saying there, Asmodo. The thing is this, nigga, you know, we'd be saying shit like, look, I wouldn't have to be fucking other men if Whitey wasn't oppressing me and holding my ass down in this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, it ain't like I'm going to get no up in here.
Yeah, I got to put my dick in something warm.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that straight up said, nigga got to fuck something.
Yeah. It's just like,
yeah, and it's
odd,
it's a gang thing, too. It's not just a prison thing. Like, I've seen like gangbangers and doing that shit too, where like to get there's that one meme that's going around. Some chick is taking a picture of, it's like three dudes standing around and there's a nigger on his knees in front of them. And they're like, yeah, this nigga from the opposite set, he got to suck their dick or they gonna kill him.
Yeah, they make they make him okay. They suck their dick.
There was a couple of years ago, there was a video going around. It was in like a school or something. I don't even think it was high school. It might have been like a lower grade in high school, about ninth or something. But like you couldn't see anything. But like what it was like a crowd of fucking like little nigglets fucking made this other nigglet fucking suck this one dude. You couldn't see it. But I mean, it was going around and like people were trying to post it on Coontown and I kept having to fucking delete it because you can't fucking post that shit. But I mean, they do that shit in schools.
Well, dude, and would you expect anything different? Like, just because they're in school, that implies that niggers have some sense of fucking decorum or, like, respect, self-awareness, or anything like that. They go to school.
No, they don't. That's...
And the thing about school, dude, all school is to niggers is just, like, a place that they can go to find victims to fuck. Like, they want to rape people.
Yeah. Find victims to fuck and eat free food.
And I want to ask.
Brown v. Board is a failed experiment. Anybody that has eyes open can look at it and see that there is absolutely no fucking reason that white kids should have to go to school with these fucking animals. Well, when we say good schools, everybody knows what we mean.
Well, the thing
is, if you want the perfect parallel to what it is, I mean. Back like in the 90s when I still had a subscription to National Geographic, they came out, they had this issue and it was all about this, some particular species of chimps or bonobos, whatever it was, that lived on this island.
Just call them niggers.
The thing that was unusual about them was that they would have sex in the missionary position, but like they went and they had taken all these pictures and it's like, you know, within one day in this little tribe of nigglet monkeys or whatever, they had taken dozens and dozens and dozens of pictures of these monkeys. And they were just that's all they did was just fuck all day. And there was no distinction, you know, they'd do it to their own children and all this other stuff. And they're like, wow, look at these monkeys. Look at them. They're so human. They'll have sex in the missionary position. And it's like, wow, you know, they behave just like Negroes.
Yeah, all you got to do to have, like, Jesus fucking Christ. But Asmodee, I wanted to ask you a quick question in passing. We don't have to get too that deep into it. You said you were the first generation of white kids that were forced to deal with fully integrated schools.
Yeah, in my area. Yeah.
So would you be willing to say that you were sort of the vanguard of integration?
Yeah.
And
And I have to say, it didn't really work the way that it did, that it does now. I mean, of course, I went to these redneck schools, and you know that you weren't a person who was considered to even have a hair on his ass if you didn't whip some niggers. But the little town that my parents came from, the year my mother was a senior, the feds came in and forced a bunch of the blacks to go to school. And when they graduated, the principal gave a speech, and he was very clear about who he was talking about. He couldn't just flat out name them, but he said, most of you who are up here have done a great job and have earned your diplomas and will have great futures ahead of you. But some of you, and everyone here knows who I'm talking, do not deserve these diplomas, and for the most part, cannot read them.
Niggers.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, so that was like my parents in that town. They were just integrating it when they graduated high school. And then when I went to elementary school, you know, we lived in Tyler, and that was a town that geographically was very racially segregated. Like, there used to be this street that ran east west across town called Front Street, and everybody knew if you're white, you live south, you stay south of Front Street, and if you're black, you stay north of it. You better not come south of it.
Glory days.
Yeah. And when it would be, you know, we'd have the county fair every year, you know, it would go from one Sunday to the next Sunday, and Tuesday was nigger night, and that's what everybody called it. You don't go on Tuesday, and the niggers don't go any other day, and that's just how it went. You know, I mean, I
grew up in a small town, and all, and there was like two or three families of niggers, and they all lived on what we called Nigger Hill that nobody ever went close to. Well, there was just nothing but trash.
We had a ton of them as far as demographically. They were back, you know, now they're a lower, because we have so many damn Mexicans and Hajis. But the area of Texas that I live in isn't like the flat cowboy stuff that you see in the movies. It's really more like the antebellum South. And we had, it was all cotton and shit here. So we've got all the old ex-slave niggers living here. And back then they were about 30% of the population. And, you know, just so you could get whatever little bit of money the niggers had, they would give them one night out of seven to go to the fair. That kind of stuff.
One night too many.
Yeah. When I was like in fourth or fifth grade, I remember being at the fair like on a Thursday or Friday night, and a couple of a little pack of niggers showed up there, and thinking, hey, we're gonna go when we want, or just didn't know any better. I don't know what, but like, they got descended on by a crowd of white dudes and just beat the shit out of them and ran them out of there. And the cops that were around were just like, hey, settle down. Wait, I don't see this. You know?
Yeah, just fucking get your bull whips out, fam, and fucking.
Yeah, you boys get on out of here now. You're causing a... No, not you white boys.
A few years ago, I forgot who it was, but somebody did some videos like about where all the big desegregation battles happened, and they went back to those schools and those neighborhoods in the modern time to see, you know, have they improved? Have they stayed the same? Have they, you know, gotten worse? And every one of those schools from back then are just complete fucking shitholes now. The entire neighborhoods have just fallen apart. And they were in the 60s during desegregation. They were very nice, well-off neighborhoods. And we need to put more of that kind of stuff out there, because when people what happens to these places, that they're just shocked.
It's not just these neighborhoods and school districts. It's like whole cities. Because like Dallas was one of the ones that was in on the... Well,
you broke
big
up
chunks
there.
Of it.
Dallas was what?
Was at the front of that integration stuff. They resisted hard, and Dallas was a white city, and it had its section that had blacks in it, and it was one of the ones at the same time that they pulled that crap in Boston, where they were doing the busing, where they would just randomly pick out a huge chunk of white kids and bus them to a black school and do the same thing with busing a bunch of black kids to the white school. They did that in Dallas. And like they did that at the end of a school year in the mid 70s. excuse me. And during this, over the summer, all the white people who could afford to moved out. And it continued to happen. I mean, like, the, I know people who went to school there then who told me about it. Like, they, you know, they weren't fortunate enough that their family moved off. And they went to a basically a white school, and they go to summer vacation, and they come back, and they're surrounded by blacks. And it's a really, really terrible phenomenon. And most of these judges that did that stuff were Jews.
Well, that's the beginning of the white flight phenomenon, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
They bust in all these blacks, and all the whites are like, oh, fuck this. Well, we're getting the fuck out of here. And they move further and further away.
Yeah,
and a lot of that was to bust up the ethnic neighborhoods. You know, mm-hmm. you had like Italian and German and shit. And not only that, where they couldn't bust them up with niggers, they just ran fucking hot highways through their fucking communities.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the other thing that they did, yeah.
And the thing is, you know, it's one of the most economically devastating things that never get mentioned because, you know, they all fled. And first, you know, if you're talking about the people in Dallas, they built a couple of suburbs that turned into big cities. One of them was Irving and one of them was Plano. Mm-hmm. And all these white people move off there. Well, over time, you know, of course, you got laws now that you can't, like, make your town some gated community and make a rule that these blacks can't follow you there. And so they start following you there immediately. And after just a few years, there's enough of them there that they've wrecked the place again. And so they would move from Irving and Plano and they would build new towns. So every few years, you have to abandon these neighborhoods and these entire cities that you have built with all this white enterprise and white wealth and everything. You have to just give it to them and move away and build a new one. And then a few years later, you have to do it again.
That's because access to whites is it's a right.
It's
a civil right. Yeah. Access to whites and white neighborhoods is a civil fucking right. You know, that you can't, how dare you prohibit, you know, blacks and brown people from being around white people like that. I mean, like, you know.
Well, shit, nigga, you know the only motherfucking way that me and my niggas are going to be able to succeed.
Well, that's what Thomas Jefferson had in mind when he was writing rights, was to make sure that blacks could move in next door to you and bang your dog.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
because he was banging all his slaves, and you know, Thomas Jefferson and that whole fucking lie.
Well, that's all been disproven by DNA.
I know.
You mean to tell me that the Jewish media lied about that?
No, they were probably honestly mistaken. I'm sure they'll correct it at any moment.
Yeah, they'll print a retraction on page fucking never happens. File that shit away. Yeah. And
no, Larry, look, they only lie about the Holocaust.
Dude, they only lie about
everything else they say is true.
Is a Jew lying? Better question, is a Jew breathing? Because if they're breathing, they're lying.
I always say. Look, they call it taqiya when it's Muslims. I call it talking when it's a Jew.
Yeah, breathing. Right. Their entire fucking life is a lie, dude. These people are disgusting. But I'm sorry, I interrupted you guys. You guys were saying niggers.
Well, I mean, yeah, and every yeah, everything and everything in our systems right now is designed to do that. And now they just openly say it when some city tries to push back against something that will bring niggers to the neighborhood, no matter what their reasoning is. The media and all the blacks and everything start screaming, you just don't want that because you don't want a bunch of niggers living with you.
Exactly.
And, you know, it'll be something like, well, you know, the DART, the Dallas Area Rapid Transit, wants to expand to the new 100,000-person suburb of Frisco, 20 miles south of town, where all these whites have gone that far and are willing to drive 5 hours a day to get to work and back to be away from these blacks. And they're like, well, you know, we just we don't think we need it. Everybody here's got a car. We don't want the added expense and blah blah. Now, you hate niggers. You hate niggers, and niggers are coming, and we're gonna force it. And
yeah, yeah, dude. Paul.
Yeah,
I said it the last episode, dude. Paul Revere, the fucking the niggers are coming. The niggers are coming. Paul Revere style, like.
Yeah, and,
well,
and
wait a second. Are they actually doing that with the train system out there? Is that what's going
well,
on?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to that.
Yeah, yeah. Chugga 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 chugga. Ooh, 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 ah, ah, ah.
It happens all the time.
No, but seriously, that's what happened in the Bay Area. They have the BART because you said DART. Yeah. They kind of like jog my memory there.
Yeah.
The thing is and the white people that move away, they move further and further away, and then they bring the train out, and the whites are like, no, we can drive to San Francisco, we have fucking cars. But then they put the BART train out, and then the niggers can come out there and rob you, you know, because they'll jump the turnstiles and they won't pay for their tickets, you know, right. And you'll pay for it in higher fares, and they'll jump the turnstiles and annoy you the whole way with their phones, listening to music with no headphones, and just like, you know, like bumping into you and pushing you around and trying to get, you know, like robbing you on the train or just pissing in the corner or whatever else it is that niggers do on the fucking train. And they rob you. There was the stories, was it last year, 60 teens jumped the turnstiles at BART, the Coliseum in Oakland Coliseum, BART, jumped the turnstiles, got on the train and robbed like 50 people between the next three train stops.
Oh, yeah. You know you're, like, you're a fool to ride that stuff. The DART system is not just light rail, it's all bus. So when it comes out to your town, the bus comes too. And as everyone knows, the name for the bus and for the train is, if we had honest branding of these things, it would be called the NDS, the Nigger Delivery System.
the Dindu Delivery System. Yeah.
Yeah,
because these blacks have very low rates of car ownership, even in areas like where I live, where there is no mass transit, they don't want to spend, even if they have good jobs or whatever, they don't want to spend the money. They'd rather spend the money. I don't know what they're spending it on.
Prostitutes, my nigga. I want some warm pussy, cocaine. Well,
there's three types of niggers when it comes to cars. There's the majority, which don't have a car.
Yeah.
Then you've got the ones that have a car, but they don't have insurance. They don't have a driver's license. They just fucking, you know, do drive-bys and shit. And then you've got the third type of nigger that has like a nicer vehicle than like all the houses in their neighborhood combined.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they'll have a vehicle. And you used to see this a lot more than you see it now. But like, I remember be out in the car with my dad and he would point the shit out. You know, it'd be some falling down fucking hovel. The roof is falling in. The paint's all flaking off the house, and a brand new Cadillac Coupe de Ville sitting out in the front yard they've got there with no grass on it or anything. And he'd say, that nigger's car is worth three times what his house costs. You know, and, but yeah, I mean, you did also, though, you failed to list category four of blacks with cars, and that's the blacks with your car.
Oh shit. Did you guys
Well, that's a standard that you don't even have to say. That's just a given.
Oh, blacks stealing cars? Yeah, niggers don't own their own vehicles. I mean, but that's pretty spot on.
I was just going for a ride. Shit.
Yeah, man. Shit.
You ever watch Bait Car and shit? It's fucking hilarious. My friend told me to park it over here. I was just moving it. Where's your friend? I don't know. What's his name? I don't know. I forgot his name.
Yeah. Well, shit, nigga. You know, you white ass motherfucking cracker niggas. I've been doing. My ancestors broke their backs for 400 years. You figured the least you could do is let me drive your car, nigga.
This my car for show.
You got any sugar? Maybe let me use your car for a little bit. I don't know.
The best thing about Bait Car is they park a car like near a fucking convenience store, and that, like, sometimes they'll shut the door. Sometimes they'll just leave them open and it running. Fucking like 20 fucking niggers are like poking their heads in it and like digging through the fucking seats and shit trying to find stuff to steal. It's literally just like the fucking videos of monkeys at a zoo or something just fucking piled onto something.
I think they're putting some kind of incense in it to make it KFC or something to draw them to. but seriously,
like,
I mean,
song, I broke the windows out your car for some fried chicken. You need to play that song one day, Larry.
Yeah, but I mean, seriously, an unlocked running vehicle will attract more niggers than free chicken day at KFC. I mean, you would think there might not even be any niggers around. You leave your car, go inside store, and you're fixing to see some niggers.
Yeah, well, you think, well, you figure that this is the, in the mind of the nigger, they think that this is the first step they need to do to take towards that rap video. They can just smoke weed in a Rolls Royce all day with fucking filled with white women. It's like, hey, shit.
Are you sure they're thinking?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's just like,
don't do that.
Dude, their whole mind, the whole thought process of a nigger really just goes from rap song to rap song. The nigger's mind is basically just MTV. It's like nigger song, yeah. Nigger song, nigger song. Like, shit, I'm going to steal this Dodge Neon, LARP, and pretend this shit be a Rolls Royce, kidnap some white women, rape some bitches.
Well, if you think about it, that's why like niggers like those Chrysler 300s because, you know, that look like a Bentley. You know what I mean? Even though it's like a $15,000 car, it doesn't look like a Bentley. It looks like a fucking Chrysler 300, nigger.
Yeah, and we've said this, and I feel like this is a basic bitch thing to say, but I know y'all niggas have heard that joke about how niggers, whenever they do name their children, they name them after things they'll never have, like Alexis, Diamond, Bentley, Job, shit like that.
Well, yeah, I saw a video a few weeks ago. It was like posted on Daily Stormer because what it was some real cucky leftist British BBC journalist went into the hood and he interviewed people about how bad the police was to them, right? And it was controversial because all he did was just show these hood niggers in their natural habitat acting like they naturally act, and he didn't even realize he was doing anything racist. But all these blacks are like, oh my god, this racist, he tried to make niggers look stupid, you know.
Well, that reminds me of what you just said.
But he showed this one nigger who's talking, and he's like, yeah, you know, my brother Seville and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, your brother was named Seville? And he's, yeah, you know, my mama named, we twins, my mama name was both after a Cadillac. My name's, I don't think he actually even said it, but my name's Seville and his name's Seville and my name Deville. And I was like, holy shit.
Oh my god, dude, this is like these niggers, it's just the same fucking shit. Like, oh, and they're actually naming their children after material possessions. It's like, it's almost as if the blacks don't love their children and they just they love these items. I don't know. I mean, just,
yeah, well, and when I was a teenager, I sacked groceries at a Tom Thumb grocery store, and we had this she was jolly enough, I guess. We had this really big obese black woman that worked there, and her name was Aquanetta. And like the
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. She was seriously. She was named after the cheapest hairspray on the, you know, the purple can of hairspray.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say the cheapest can? They didn't even name her after like the high end shit?
Well, I don't know that it was the cheapest. Kinda I think like, it was standard back, yeah. I think it was standard back then, but now it would be like on the, you know, the cheap stuff.
They named their daughter after that one meme. It's like, listen, sweetheart.
Yeah, there's that one.
You can shoot for your dreams. You can grow up and be whatever you want. And I want you to grow up and know that you can buy this sort of hairspray, my little nigger.
Yeah, but can you imagine if white people did like the equivalent and named their kids after stuff that they generally go buy at the store or whatever? I mean, how many trailer park kids would be named Sam's Club, this and that?
Right?
I saw a fucking shit where
white people do shit like name their kids fucking Aiden and Braxton and, you know.
And, yeah. Dude, I saw something about some white guy back years ago named his kid Espen after ESPN because whites are
You're not the only one, dude. I know some kid Espen.
You know somebody named Espen?
Fucking
yeah, let me.
I know somebody whose son is named Espen.
Let me introduce you to my two boys, Doritos and.
Doritos and what?
Funyuns.
It's like two stoners get together and they're like, "Yeah, man, I'm gonna name my kid Weed and Weed, right? Fucking
ranch dressing, bro.
Yeah, bro.
No, dude. There's that one meme going around with that black chick. It's like when you grow up to fulfill your name, or her name is Kashira.
Right. Well,
you remember the one.
To be honest with you, just about every meth addicted female I ever knew that had a bunch of kids had at least one daughter named Diesel, which is what they called it back then.
Do y'all remember that one that went around a while back where there was a dash in the name, but you had to pronounce the dash because the dash ain't silent?
Because the dash, yeah. The dash don't be silent.
Yeah, La Dash, yeah, it looks like La, it looks like La apostrophe A pronounced La Dasha. Or La Dash A, La Dash A. And of course, the apostrophe in their names is not an apostrophe. That's a high comma.
Shit, man. I saw someone was talking about doing some sort of thing, teaching niggers how to read by saying, like, listen, I'm only going to give you food if you can place the apostrophe in the right spot in your name, Dale Aquarius, or something of that nature. Yeah, but
Dontavius.
Yeah, Dontraquilarius, or just naming the, who gives a shit? It's like they put together two Greek names and then just put an apostrophe in the middle of it.
Well, but, or just put La in front of it. I mean, like, one of the first of these names that I ever knew was, like, when I was in, like, sixth or seventh grade, the quarterback of the local high school football team was a black guy named La Curtis. It was La, L-A apostrophe Curtis. It's like, let's just take a regular white name and put La in front of it.
You mentioned the schools in the area that you were in before. Was this guy the quarterback of the Robert E. Lee Nigger Killers?
No, he wasn't. He was the quarterback of the school I went to. we had already white flighted away from there.
Yeah, so. But oh my goodness. Do you guys want to go to break really quick so I can rock a piss?
Sure.
Got a number of things to. Well, motherfucking Stephen Hawking just died.
What the hell?
And nothing of value was lost.
Yeah, it was totally unforeseen. He was a picture of health.
Yeah, I wonder if
he was hanging on for fucking years, dude. I just want to know one thing: is how the teeth grow over the past? You ever see, like, old pictures of him, and then more recent pictures of him? His teeth are like 3.5 inches long.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is, how is it that we have all these young white guys who can't get a job, and Hawking had these women just throwing themselves at him doing God knows what he was able to do.
Yeah, I wonder if he foresaw in his calculations that his retarded ass was going to be dead soon.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Hard to say.
I just threw away his book yesterday, or day before. That Brief History of Time. I've had that thing forever. Somebody who, like, had a garage sale gave me a stack of books. And I was going through them and getting rid of shit and, you know, doing the whole Jordan Peterson clean the room thing.
Well, the thing is, Asmodor, is that you're going
to... toss it right out.
Well, Asmodor, the thing is if you want to live a really good life where you want to, you know, maximize your potential, you're going to want to clean your room a little bit.
Well, I did, you know. So, and the next thing I'm going to do is stop naming the Jew. I'm going to do everything like Jordan Peterson.
All right, gentlemen. Well, we'll take like a 5-minute break, and we'll be back to talk to these niggas here in a minute.
Aight, then.
Aight.
Aight.
All right.
Did you ever see a dream walking? Well, I did. Did you ever hear a dream talking? Well, I did. Did you ever have a dream thrill you with will you be mine? Oh, it's so grand, and it's too divine. Did you ever see a dream dancing? Well, I did. Did you ever see a dream romancing? Well, I did. Did you ever find heaven right here in your arms, saying I love you, I do? Well, a dream that was walking, and a dream that was talking, and a heaven in my arms was you. Thank you. ever see a dream walking? Well, I did. Did you ever hear a dream talking? Well, I did. Did you ever have a dream thrill you with will you be mine? Oh, it's so grand, and it's too divine. Did you ever see a dream dancing? Well, I did. Did you ever see a dream romancing? Well, I did. Did you ever find heaven right here in your arms, saying I love you, I do? The dream that was walking and the dream that was talking, and the heaven in my arms was you.
And yes, your favorite cadre of nigger haters are back from break, and we are going to get into the real meat and potatoes of this episode, and we're going to talk about niggers and feather nigger wannabes. We're going to start off with this insane orc population in Oakland, I believe, is where this nigger is calling home nowadays. So, courtesy of the Daily Stormer, Joe Jones says, "Why the hell do we let these orcs be with white women?" That's a really good question. It's because I don't think we have control over what these hoes are doing nowadays. So, former Oakland Raiders defensive end / chimpanzee from the canopy, Alden Smith, turned himself in to the San Francisco police on Tuesday after an alleged altercation over the weekend in which he is said to have bitten his fiancée's wrist. Ooga booga, right? And fled the scene before officers arrived. Now, do you guys know of any other fucking animal in the jungle or on this on the face of the planet that bites someone, runs away? Some bipedal creature? Chimpanzees, right? So this nigger was like, you know, being taken in after he turned himself in. I'm sure he resisted nonetheless and said, "Man, you ain't gonna book me on misdemeanor charges, motherfucker, of willful infliction of corporal injury, assault with force likely to produce great bodily injury, and false imprisonment. Nigga, you wanna talk about false imprisonment? I play for the motherfucking Raiders. You gonna lock me up, nigga?" So, yeah, the fucking Raiders got some sense to him and kicked this nigger off the field. They said, "You get out of here, you rabid AIDS nigger. We don't want you biting white women. Get going."
Yeah, I was going to ask if the victim is under observation for symptoms of rabies.
Yeah. Perhaps the super Filipino strain of AIDS, maybe even. Look at this picture of her in this article, though, and her fucking duck lips. Don't you just want to rip them right off of her mouth? She's like, good Lord. It's like you could have been a proud white mother dressed in a white dress hanging out on a plantation somewhere. You know what I mean? Some good old southern architecture. I'm sure there would have been a white man that took you. But instead, you had to go and settle for the slaves. You got daddy issues. And you're like, listen, I'm going to make this duck face. How many years do you think this woman spent on Tinder before she hooked up with this primitive canopy dweller?
Now, this is Alden Smith. He used to play for the 49ers, I believe, and he got picked up at one point at the San Francisco airport for a fake bomb threat.
Dude, Alden Smith, all right, I used to watch football regularly. This nigger is in trouble every fucking year for something. He gets arrested every year. And you always hear
he's been arrested, like, out of the 5 years he's been in the league, like, four times.
Yeah, and you hear these fucking pathetic white, well, let's not even pretend they're white, these kike fucking owners of these teams. Al Davis, I believe he was white. I don't know, it doesn't matter. But you hear these fucking owners of these teams making excuses like, "Oh, well, he's goddamn good on the field. So what's it matter? I don't care how much of a nigger he is 24 hours a fucking day. Like, this nigger can run around and tackle people.
22 hours a day he can be a nigger. The other 2 hours he belong to me.
As long as this nigger can pick up a football and run and tackle motherfuckers, it is what it is. Hey, yo, sport, I can't even count to 10.
He runs around the plantation with his dick hanging out, but boy, can that nigger pick cotton.
A lot of people are sick and tired of all these blacks on sports teams and stuff, but honestly, I think that there should be literally only blacks on football, but like criminal blacks, like on death row and shit, and like get rid of all the safety rules and just play to the death.
Dude, we taught, holy fuck, this is like rehashing episode 20 when Asmodor was on before. Asmodor said that. What did you say, man? You were like, I think
it should be all niggers, and we should get rid of the stupid rules about steroids. We should force them. We should just pump them full of steroids, and right before we send them out on the field, we should give them giant injections of meth and painkillers, and give them like edged weapons,
machetes. You said, dude.
Yeah, and just send them right out.
Bring back the gladiators. Dude,
this is you guys are taking away from content from my other show. They're removing the goalposts. We talked about that last time. We got to have you on that one, Asmodor. You come on the sports show. You're just like the man of like all the shows, dude.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I'll happily come on. I got to tell you, it's been so long since I've been totally red-pilled about sports that when you actually start talking about the names of players and the owners of the teams and everything, it's like a test pattern goes across my brain. I don't know any of them anymore, you know. And
oh, it's fine. I don't either, really.
I said, like, I really hated the fact that there were any of them in the NFL. And when I was a little kid, like, the first time I really, really got into football enough that I knew the players' names and their stats and all was like Super Bowl XII, because the Cowboys with Roger Staubach going to go to Super Bowl. And you know, it just kept getting blacker and blacker and blacker. And it finally got to the point where I always said that the minute the Cowboys announce that they have a nigger quarterback, I'm never going to watch fucking football again. And true to my word, I did not. And, you know, they got some black guy right after Troy Aikman. But I really wasn't even into it by then. I had some friends bought me tickets, and we went and saw them a couple of times. Or gave me the tickets for somebody, because I wasn't going to pay $200 to go to a fucking football game. That wasn't my idea of good expenditures back then. But I went and saw them a couple of times when Troy Aikman was at the old Texas Stadium when Troy Aikman was playing for them. And I can see why people go. Other than for the football game itself. I mean, it's just this giant spectacle. But, man, I just don't give a shit. I just do everything I can to evangelize against people watching this shit and spending their money on it.
Such a waste of fucking time, dude. Like, I used to watch football every week, and I used to get on FanDuel and do all this other stupid bullshit. But then I found, like, I knew that niggers were retarded before I was, you know, involved with white nationalism. I was like, man, niggers are stupid. I live in a white town. It's so nice. They're in their niggers here. I love it. But I get red-pilled on the Jews and, like, oh, National Football League. These are basically just criminals that Jews are pushing forward as, like, role models. Creating problems in the white community of people that watch these people and accept it and whatnot, implying they're people. But now, dude, I haven't watched football in so long since. And when I, just as you were saying, I hear these names nowadays. It's like, oh, did you hear about such and such? Caught this god, this pass? They caught that pass? Did you see that one-handed catch or that 75-yard run? It's like, no, I did not. And I was going somewhere else with this, too, but I'm...
Well, I mean, there's every bit as much, you know, inspirational shit going on in a cockfight as there is on the football field, and football field is basically bipedal cockfights.
Yeah,
and they should just acknowledge that and just take all the strategy out of it and do like I say. I mean, pump these fuckers up. But you know, a lot of the stuff about professional sports, other than just the fact that these blacks are in it, is kind of annoying. I mean, like. George Carlin had a great routine where he was talking about that one of the things that made him happiest was when he saw an interview with some retarded fucking linebacker who was talking about he got so nervous before the games. It was so, the games were so goddamn important that he had to go and vomit before every game. And he just had a whole routine about how ridiculous this shit was. And I mean, even if even if it was like white people in it, and was only white people doing it, the amount of mental energy and emotion and everything that we invest in these men who are making a living playing a kid's game and who are supposed to represent our town and all that, but they're just these guys that you headhunt from every corner of the globe, whoever you can get that's the best, that you think's the best, and pay them to come play. It's just all a ridiculous spectacle.
No, it absolutely is. And I'm sorry that I trailed off there whenever I was complaining about something. I'm just looking at the picture of this blonde, nigger-loving creature, and I just fucking want to punch her in the fucking face, dude. Like, it just pisses me off so bad. God damn it. But
Whenever you see a white girl with a black guy, like at the store or something, especially if there's like a white kid around, what you need to do is you need to call the authorities and report a possible kidnapping, because I mean this should just happen literally every time. They cannot go out in public without the, because I mean they can't, you obviously are concerned. I mean, you don't know that there's a kidnapping, you just merely suspect. So what they're going to do is they're going to go talk to the nigger, and he's probably going to chimp out and get shot. So it's win-win.
I pulled in about 2 weeks ago. I was in the next town over, and I had to pull in and get gas at one of these gas stations that has a Whataburger in it. And out comes this grungy-looking, funky-ass old nigger, about 60 years old, and he's got some little, like, 5-6-year-old blonde-headed kid walking out with him. And I'm like, fuck, man, how do I know this isn't a kidnapping situation, you know?
Report it every time you fucking see it. And I know there's a lot of it in certain areas. Fucking call them and say,
well, I mean,
you know, I suspect that there's something wrong. She kind of had a look to her face that she was in fear, or possibly. I mean, you're not saying that you saw a kidnapping. You just say you see something, you say something, you suspect something might be wrong.
Well,
either she's being kidnapped, she's being abused, something's happening.
Check your state and local laws. I'm currently being sued for a speech I never even got to give, so I always feel like I got to throw that out there. I'm not telling
lie, but obviously,
yeah, I mean,
what's wrong with this woman if she's with a nigger? I mean, why would any white woman walk around town with a fucking nigger? I mean, she's probably got something wrong with her. She's probably pumped full of drugs or something.
Yeah, yeah, but CPS probably needs to get involved.
As for like the football conversation, I've never really followed sports, but I do think the 49ers should move their team to Orlando just for the meme. I think that would be absolutely hilarious. The 49 dead.
Yeah, dude.
Oh.
So, all right, we can move on to the next topic. Enough of the orcs biting blonde. Could just punch this fucking girl in the face.
Well, he taught that bitch, though.
Yeah, but you know what the thing is, dude, is that she's gonna stop playing the nigger skin flute for that guy and go do it to someone else. Like, look at the sad thing is that this white bitch is wearing the Mud Shark uniform. She's got that starter kit, dude. Looking at this picture, I just want to punch her in the face, dude. I gotta exit out. So, God damn it. So Elizabeth Warren, Queen Feather Nigger from where? Massachusetts, or who gives a shit, right? Somewhere in fucking New England. She's being brave, and she's refusing the race bullies who are demanding that she take a DNA test to prove that she's a feather nigger. And I think that you mentioned it before the show, Niggy, that this is probably maybe a little bit illegal 4D chess. She does explain to us what you mean by that, my man.
Well, she apparently got a lot of, like, special loans and grants and stuff to go to school. And she probably even got admitted to school, even though she didn't qualify with her scores, you know, just because she's claiming to be an Indian. And if she got all this money for that, especially from the government, that's fraud.
So. Well, she also got a professorship at a state-funded institution by claiming it. She got boosted up above people who weren't falsely claiming to be redniggers.
Well, not only that, but she claims to be a Native American and a champion for, you know, them and diversity and all the stupid bullshit. If it came out that she was fucking lying and she's just, you know, fucking 90% Anglo or some shit and, you know, 10% whatever else, fucking, they would fucking eviscerate her. They really would.
Well, yeah, and what's crazy is that she just knee-jerk said she wouldn't do this. Because, you know, like 23andMe is owned by Jews. I'm sure they'd make a fraudulent one for her.
Yeah, that's the other thing is, well, she never came out and said that she wouldn't do it. What she said she basically just went around the subject talking about how when her mother and her father met, they were just so in love, and my mother and their love was, you know, it was his family didn't like it because my mother was part Native American, and it, you know, they had to elope, and I don't even, you know, and I was told by my family, by my mother and by my aunts and my uncles and by my family that this is what it is, and you know, that she was told this, so it was passed down, you know, that's that generational information that's not written down at all. So yeah. Well, she never actually said she wouldn't do the test. She just like danced around the question.
What tribe does she claim to be?
Cherokee.
Of course.
Here's the thing. Legally, to be Cherokee in the United States, you have to have an ancestor on the Dole's roll.
Yeah, and they don't even have to be Indian.
It's like 1902 or some shit. All she has to do is tell her which great-great-grandparent is on that fucking list.
I would actually qualify, and I could tell you, but I have no Indian DNA at all. But the reason that I would qualify is that while they were doing the Dawes roll, my great-great or great-great-great-grandfather, whichever one it was, his wife was having a rough pregnancy, and they lived in western Arkansas. And the nearest doctor they could get to was the one being provided to the Indians on the reservation. And they went there and had the baby there, and they had to stay there for a couple of weeks or whatever. And he got included on that Dawes roll. So if I wanted to, I could become a member of the Cherokee Nation. But an interesting thing is the Cherokee Nation does not want these niggers. They won't allow either the slaves they owned or black people. I mean, I don't know if it's been resolved or not, but like 10 years ago, there was this giant lawsuit that all these blacks were suing them saying, we was Cherokees too. And they're like, no, we don't accept niggers. Like, well, you accept white people.
Well, don't these people understand that blacks were the real American Indians?
Well, yeah, but I mean, and that's another thing is the Cherokees were allowed to own their slaves for a good while after the Civil War because those reservations were considered like under the same law as anywhere else. You know, they really were like sovereign Indian territory as long as they stayed on it or whatever. But this is a real common thing. This claiming that you're part Indian is a way that especially conservatives, but of course liberals do it a lot. You assuage this white guilt. You're like, oh no, you know, and you see people with their memes all the time, and they'll always mention, yeah, I'm part Cherokee too, and they'll be trying, it'll be some issue about gun control, and they'll be like, oh yeah, and they'll post a picture of these Indians like, yeah, we gave up our, what happened, and all of a sudden, yeah, that was my ancestors. And but I posted a link to this story on Gab, and immediately one of these conservative broads replied to me, because I post all this shit in news and everything. I like to get responses from people who aren't, you know, us or whatever. And she responded, oh, this racist woman, she's just claiming that, blah, blah, blah. If she had any evidence that she was part Cherokee like me, she'd have evidence like this picture of my grandma. And she posted this picture, this obvious fucking white woman. I'm like, she looks white to me. And it's like, you bastard. You know? I mean, what kind of, I mean, you know, a freaking Indian, especially back then before they were, getting mixed out or whatever, an Indian looks like a damn Mongolian. They're almost as dark as a nigger, and they've got the, you know,
you goddamn Mongolians.
Well, that's what they are, and they got the buzzard nose and all that stuff, and the weird super high cheekbones and triangular face, and you know this woman's posting just a regular looking white woman. I mean, yeah, and she's an Indian, and if I'd have gone into it, I'd say, what do you think looks Indian about her? Well, look how dark her hair is, or it would have been something like that.
I love, you know, when you get into debates with leftists online, they always say that the Native Americans were here first. I love to tell them that they're immigrants from Siberia and they've got to go back.
Yeah, and Native American is the dumbest fucking term anyway. Native American is anybody who's born here. Or anybody who's born in North or South America is a Native American. I'm a fucking Native American. I wasn't born in, you know, Italy or something. I was born right here, God.
I am a real American because not everybody born here is a real American.
Well, hold on.
Americans are white people.
Well, hold on, really quick. You just had a great segue, and this is an opportunity for me to ask Asmodor something. So, I am a real American. Fight for the rights of the white man, right? What is your opinion on Hulk Hogan, Asmodor?
He seems white to me.
Are you a Hulkamaniac?
That is peak optics right there, Hulkamaniac.
Yeah, yeah, dude, Hulkamaniac.
You kind of sound like him. You kind of sound like him. Do your best Hulkster impression.
I really don't have one, brother. But
that's fucking gold.
That's right fucking there. Perfect, dude. So
I can't believe my daughter is going around fucking these. Brother,
I think that was actually a direct quote from him in the one New York Post.
Oh yeah, in the sex tape.
Dude, yeah. these niggers, brother, they're out there.
And just to think of my daughter, you know, banging one of these apes. God Almighty, it makes me want to put them in a triple backward suplex.
Yeah, yeah. So the last few days, Niggy and I have been like. Pushing this extreme AMNAT position of Hulkamania with the American flag being like the pinnacle of peak. It's like the peak white male performance is Hulk Hogan.
Well, I mean, maybe so.
It's absurd, but it's a joke.
I'm more of a Roddy Piper guy myself.
No, he was woke though.
See,
yeah.
No, Rowdy Piper was woke as fuck, but woke see, that's the fuck, whole. He wasn't dude. The American.
No, well, no. Yeah, well, live. I mean, I
did the
wasn't
movie watching. They live, you know.
I wasn't watching wrestling by then. By the time I was 11 or 12, when I was a kid, wrestling was all a more local thing. You know, you'd have these different regions, and the wrestling would come on your local, whatever big regional channel you had. Like we had world-class championship wrestling, and like the big heroes were the Von Erichs, which was interesting because they were all the sons of Fritz Von Erich, who had gotten his start as a heel in the 50s and 60s. And the reason his name was Fritz Von Erich was he was the Nazi. But
that's right.
You know, it was really...
Well, the Von Erichs all became the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, one of them died, and then the other one took his place or something like that?
Well, all of them died except one.
Yeah.
It was a really tragic, family story there. But, like, one of them, the oldest one, went to Japan on one of those tours they would do. And, you know, I guess the Japanese guy accidentally kicked him wrong or whatever, and it internal organ damage, and he died. And then one of them committed suicide, and one of them was like this little stunted, almost midget fucker who, I guess, whatever condition he had, and one of them died. I mean, the dude had a lot of kids, and one of them died from a drug overdose or whatever. But, yeah, especially like Kerry Von Erich was one of these really roided up, super big bodybuilder types with the long blonde hair and everything, you know, American Dream. Stuff and I think Kevin is the only one, and if he did become this what'd you call him? American Warrior or something like that?
The Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah. If he roided up some. I think that Ultimate Warrior guy was like a guy who was trying to be Kerry Von Erich because he had the same hair and the same big Ultimate Warrior was batshit insane.
He did a comic book. You should fucking read it. It's completely incomprehensible. Makes absolutely no sense. And he made it himself and put it out there. And it's just the weirdest shit you've ever seen.
But just as an aside, that wrestling was totally run by Jews. And I didn't realize that it was a Jew thing. I always thought.
Well, hey, Asmodor, actually, speaking of this entire wrestling, you cut out there pretty heavy. Are you back?
Okay. Yeah.
Speaking of this wrestling, we're actually doing a wrestling episode on Friday, if you'd like. Yeah, dedicated completely to WWF wrestling and the kikery that is within.
Yeah,
there's an open seat there if you want to hop on.
Okay, well, I may do so, but I don't really know much about WWF. But the thing I remember when I would watch this wrestling on Saturday night when I was a kid is that. There was always it was sponsored by Siegel's Wine and Liquor Emporium, and they would always have this old man Siegel come on there, and he would have the wine of the week, and it'd be like, you gotta try the bubbly Manischewitz, it makes your nose tickle. and he was just like the fucking Happy Merchant. He looked just like the Happy Merchant if the Happy Merchant was bald and took a shave. And then years later, the first thing that really IRL red-pilled me on the Jews was I was up in Dallas looking for a job during a really bad recession, and I was just driving up Greenville Avenue, and everything that looked like it might be a place where I could put in an application and maybe get a job, I would pull over and do it. Well, I see this warehouse. It says it's Siegel's Warehouse, and I thought, oh, well, that's like a sign from God, because I remember seeing them when I would watch wrestling when I was a kid. And I pull in there, and it's this big warehouse, and there's like 100 people in the back working, and there's nobody at the counter. And I stand there for a minute, and this little fucking kike comes walking out, and I'm looking at him. He looks off, and I wasn't sure what it was right away. And I was like 20 or 21 at the time. And he comes walking and says, what do you want? You know, a real rude fuck. And I said, well, I'd like to put in a job application. He says, we don't take job applications. And I said, wait. It's the law that every business has to take job applications. And he says, not if you're a family business. And I looked in the back and saw all these fucking people working there. And I was like, what kind of family business has dozens of, it just dawned on me all of a sudden. I said, oh, wait, this is one of those Jew things, isn't it?
Oy vey. Oh, you better not.
He's like, you get out of here. I'm going to call the cops. He said, no,
The last time it was noticed, it was literally a show us, so we cannot.
Yeah. And I turned around and God damn, Hitler was right. Jesus Christ. and it was really a very red pilling moment that, you know, because I had worked for places where I would have to give out job applications. I knew the laws and everything. And even if, like, we didn't hire niggers or whatever, we would have to take their application and maybe, like, have some kind of little code that we'd write on the corner of it that would say, this is a nigger, you know?
You mean their name?
No, just the number or something like that.
LaDasha?
Yeah, because, like, I worked for places that didn't want anything but white males working there. And you'd check it off. You'd have a code for if it was a black guy or a Mexican or if he seemed like a queer or whatever. And
niggers.
So anyhow, so I knew, I mean, I was just thinking, how, you know, only these fucking Jews can get by with just flouting the law like that openly to anybody that walks in here. You know damn well, nearly the only person walking in job application. But these jobs are just for Jews, and they had a bunch of niggers working back there.
Well, hey, you know, Asmodor, we're just trying to lift up our less fortunate fellow man, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, they were probably paying him in booze.
You're probably paying him, like, fucking, I will give you a 40 a week, you know, something of the sort. But to speaking of niggers, I mean, worthless. Speaking of niggers, and when I say niggers, I mean worthless, redundant piles of human whatever the fuck sells nonsense. Let's talk about this extraterrestrial ET looking nigger. Let me sit in your basket, fly you to the moon looking ass nigger. So we have we got Harriet Tubman. So we got two honorable gentlemen in the South, Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson in Baltimore. Their statues were torn down to make way for a the Underground Railroad conductor, Harriet Tubman. So the space is now going to be called Harriet Tubman Grove. Here in the Daily Storm article, they got this picture of this real surly-looking nigger juxtaposed with E.T. in a milk crate on Elliot's fucking Elliot's bike lifting up, lifting off. You know what I'm saying? So as it says here in the Daily Stormer, Harriet Tubman seems to be the only nigger who the Jews could dig up and claim did anything before 1900. Where's the lie, fam? She's the same nigger that was being floated to replace the honorable, badass motherfucker Andrew Jackson on, you know, Walk You Indians in the Trail of Tears on the $20 bill until white people said, yeah, we don't want some surly-looking nigger on a $20 bill. Get the fuck out of here.
I'll be honest here. I want them to put her on the $20 bill because I'm going to go to the bank and withdraw fucking $10,000 and stamp nigger across her fucking face on every fucking one of them. Deposit it. Withdraw another $20,000. And I will do that every fucking day.
I can see why you say that. And that is – but conversely, it was worth every bit of energy that we put into getting Trump elected. Just to deny the nigger their $20 bill.
I agree there.
Oh, my God. So,
for me, go ahead.
Oh, you were saying, Nikki, because I'm about to start on something else.
Oh, you can go ahead. That's
so, I don't know. Have you guys looked over the Daily Storm article here where they have the – it's like a play of sorts where the union officer is speaking to the nigger. And Tubman, leading the armed expedition, went like this. The union officer says, "Excuse me, nigger. I'm not familiar with these parts. Should I take this road on the left or this road on the right?" Tubman, surly nigger, says, "Hey, nigger, ooga booga, take the road on the left." And the union officer says, "Awesome. Thanks, nigger."
Well, this is obviously historical revisionism because we know that any time they asked her anything, her answer was "mup da doo dida pomoga big snood mubhugga."
Yeah, they don't have a written language, dude. It's gone. Yeah. So, and then it goes on to say this. So, in April 1958, Tubman was introduced to the abolitionist John Brown, an insurgent who advocated the use of violence to destroy slavery in the United States. Although she never advocated violence against whites, she agreed with his course of direct action and supported his goals. Basically, she said, "Ooga booga, I'm a nigger. I'm not going to personally say that you should go kill Whitey, but you should definitely go and kill Whitey." So John Brown, you know, the nigger free and he's dead. It doesn't matter. He dreamed of fighting to create a new state of niggers and made preparations for military actions with his pack of niggers. And after he began the first battle, he believed that niggers would rise up and carry out a rebellion across the South. He asked Tubman, a nigger, to gather former niggers, slaves, then living in present-day Southern Ontario, if they would be willing to join his fighting force, which she did. And Tubman went, "Oh, Lordy, I ain't one for violence, but let me go rustle up an army of niggas to help you go kill Whitey. Nigga." So, that's about how that went. You guys have anything?
You covered that pretty well.
That was well done, Larry. That's very well done. It's well acted. You deserve an Oscar. Too bad they were last Sunday.
I gotta say, Larry, you're becoming one of the in the modern American zoological movement.
You broke up there. I'm becoming one of the leading thinkers
in the modern American zoological society. I mean,
I'm very flattered. I'm very.
You are to that group of animals what Irwin, Steve Irwin was to crocodiles in Australia, pretty much.
I just want to tell you guys, this is what I set out to do. My whole life's goal has been to give a voice to these canopy dwelling chimpanzees.
Yeah. You're like the 21st century Jane Goodall.
Oh, good Lord, dude.
I have to say that too, that rap song. That was fucking spot on that you did a while back.
That was good.
Yeah,
that was
shit. Good. Yeah, Asmodo, did you hear my rap track last week?
No, I
we'll have to check it out. It's we don't want to spoil it for you. It's good.
I have been deprived of that.
Yeah. Let me read you the first line, all right? Here it goes.
Okay, I blame Whitey for not having heard it.
Yeah, so the first line goes a little something like this. Nigga, 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 my dick. Nigga, 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 nigga. Yeah, for 3.5 minutes, basically.
Yeah.
And,
I really.
I don't normally like rap, but that was really good.
I thought you actually hired a nigger to do that one. It was so spot on.
Well, Maya Angelou actually wrote it, and
well, you can tell. I mean, it was fucking. It was poetry. It really was.
Yeah, dude. So no. Back to Harriet Tubman, this nigger chimpanzee creature. So she rejected the teachings of the New Testament, but she urged slaves to be obedient and found guidance in the Old Testament tales of deliverance. Basically, just reading the Storm article here, she was a fake Christian who cherry-picked the Bible so she could ignore the parts that told her not to be an uppity nigger. Harriet Tubman, all right, TLDR, Harriet Tubman is a nigger. And we got Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, class act white men, you know, basically what this country used to be all about. More or less, this boils down to, white man, your entire history is being replaced with a people who don't even have a history. Because they are too fucking stupid to write it down. They had no written language. And even if they could write it down, they would have nothing to write down aside from fucking cannibalism, incestual rape, and other things of that nature. Basically just typical nigger behavior. So, that's that. These people are gone. What do you guys have anything to say about this?
Well, let's just hope that all these white statues and all these signs from things that were named after white heroes and everything being kept safe and sound in a warehouse somewhere so that when we're able to take all this back, we can just replace it all.
The day of the rope.
we will be able to replace our historic monuments, but we're gonna build new monuments to new heroes as well. One of these days, there's gonna be streets named after Asmodor. There's gonna be statues of fucking, you know, weave and shit. Fucking, it's gonna be fucking great. I mean, and think about it. Half of us use these fucking fake names. There's gonna be fucking, you know, Niggy Boulevard and shit. It's gonna be fucking hilarious.
Dude, I fucking listen. I answer. All right, I work with a guy at my current job whose name is Larry, and they call back to him, and I answer to that. I'm like, yo, what? And they're like, what do you mean you're not Larry? I'm like, oh fuck. Yeah, I'm not. I'm sorry, my bad.
I'm telling you, hard hearing.
Yeah. I'm hard hearing. So
say what? Just practice it. Just go around and maybe if you just talk like one all the time, they'll be afraid to question you about anything. You know, whenever they tell you to do something, say what? Say what?
Yeah, maybe I should just start acting like a nigger. Like whenever someone says something that I disagree with, I just like shit in my hand and throw like a big pile of feces at them or something. Yeah. Like full chimp in the zoo type thing, like,
yeah, just chimp out, and every time anybody says anything you to do anything you don't want to do, tell them they're doing that because you're white, you know.
Yeah, this is because of the Irish slave trade, like,
you just expect me to show up on time and do my just leave a you racist motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. You're projecting white agency. Like, what? Like, you're projecting agency on me because I'm white? Like, what is this? What the fuck is this?
Yeah, I'm a human, not a skin color.
Yeah, one race, the human race, right?
don't wear your work uniform because my culture is not a costume.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. You know the last people that had to wear uniforms, right? Slaves.
The slaves.
Oh God, dude. So we'll move on to the final story of the night. I'm honestly surprised that we have made it this far, and I'm echoing so bad I want to fucking just choke myself. In the United Kingdom, Cuck Island, there was a woman, a white woman, who lost her two legs and an arm, all because they didn't diagnose sepsis when there were many red flags in which they could have done so. And then you may ask yourself, white man, well, why is it the doctors couldn't diagnose sepsis? Well, that's a very good question. The answer is, all you need to do is look at their website, and you will see that equality, diversity, human rights and inclusion, access, all count at the Luton and Dunstable University Hospital. So basically, we are dedicated to everything that will guarantee the white man substandard care, all at the cost of allowing a few chimpanzees to put on scrubs, you know, to do their thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it should come as no surprise because there was a story that came out just the other day where at this hospital in Nigeria, the bigger doctors and all were doing brain surgery on the wrong guy for like 6 hours before they noticed.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they had two people in there, and one of them just had like some brain swelling and needed you know, whatever they do, drill a hole in there, whatever, release the pressure. And the other guy had like a brain tumor or something and needed a good chunk of his brain removed. And they take the guy who's just got the swelling in there and go to, you know, cutting his skull open and digging around in there and shit. And all of a sudden, like, oh shit, motherfucker, this is the wrong motherfucker. Shit.
But at least there was no lasting damage.
That right. No. Well, I mean, yeah, you can pretty much assume that it was probably some more blacks. But the thing that I was wondering about is, you know, it's like it takes 6 hours for them to notice. Is it because it took that long for them to find the brain and go, oh, this one's just swollen?
or did they finally, it took them 6 hours to read the fucking like patient sheet where they were like, oh shit.
Yeah.
It's that nigga down the hall.
Well, yeah. Well, his the swelling ought to go down now. But I mean, you know, it's like the old joke. What's the most frustrating thing a nigger can try to do is blow his own brains out. But
he's sitting there all day, dude, just looking for
it. Yeah, got 10 holes in his head, in the back of his head, and hadn't hit the brain.
Yeah,
yet.
Unfortunately, niggers got 9 lives like cats, dude. So.
Yeah.
Y'all remember those stories where they were like injecting concrete and shit in their ass?
No. Yeah. Well, no. Tell me about this.
That happened here locally.
It's fucking, and it happened more than once. It's
this woman
and it's not just some African shit. It's in the U.S.
This woman got arrested. This black, you know, these black women are wanting their ass injections, and they don't want to go to a plastic surgeon and pay to have real human fat injected. That shit expensive.
That costs too much money.
So they were going to this fucking hairdresser. And
what could go wrong, dude?
Yeah, like, look, you know, yeah, give me put in a nice weave and then let's make my ass bigger, you know. But what she was doing was she, you know, somehow on the black market, she had gotten the anesthetics and stuff to inject in their ass, and she'd numb out their nigger ass right there in the hairdressing salon and. I guess cut an X in both butt cheeks, and she was taking regular, like GE silicone, like you buy at the Best Buy, not Best Buy, at Lowe's or whatever, you know, to seal stuff up around the house, and just, you know, it goes into the into a little gun, like a caulking gun, and she's just sticking the point in their ass and pumping that shit in there.
Oh my fucking god!
Yeah, and then stitching it up. It's like, yeah, girl, your ass big now, and
you got caulk in there.
Yeah, and a couple of, you know, one of them, it started going so bad on her that she was about to die, and she hauled ass to the emergency room. And of course, Whitey had to pay for all of that. But he's like, well, what happened to your ass, girl? Well, you know, I went down here. It was a legitimate beauty salon, and I'd be okay.
It's like, well, yeah, nigger, you can't just like take these guarantees from fellow niggers.
It's silicone.
Yeah. Well, listen, sweetheart, it's not the same fucking silicone that you need. How many times do you need to be told these things? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, that's... And unfortunately, a lot of white women do this now, too. You know, they'll go and get these silicone implants that are like the ones that they put in their tits and get these giant ones put in their ass. And I got to say, I'm against this... Whether they're doing it by working out or by, you know, plastic surgery, I'm against this big ass craze. I mean, you know, a nice looking curvy girl who's natural or whatever, okay. But these nice fit young women who are doing like 1,000 squats a day with weights on their shoulders and everything to make this ass that sticks out like a nigger bitch, that shit don't look good to me. You're wasting your time with that.
Well, wait. Wait until these niggers discover that synthol shit and start injecting themselves with that.
Oh, yeah. But, like, the thing is...
Oh, they already have, though.
In the U.S. they have?
It's too bad these niggers aren't just, like, injecting themselves more often with lethal doses of heroin or something. Like... I'm sorry. Well, I these fucking people make me sick.
Yo, dude, this fentanyl. This fentanyl get your ass fat.
Yeah.
Inject a whole bunch of this fentanyl.
Stick about fucking 7 of those fentanyl patches in your house, Cheech, and we'll fucking talk tomorrow.
Well, I mean, this is how dumb they are. When I going back to one of the smut shops. Now, this was in the era before.
You broke up for a second. Back with the smut shops.
Back when I was working in the smut shops. This was before the era of drugs like Viagra and Cialis that would actually take a person who couldn't get an erection and make them have one. And it was black guys 100% of the time who would do this. They would come into the smut shop and they would say, I heard that it's some kind of y'all got some kind of pills in here, make a motherfucker dick hard. And I'd be like, yeah, we got these right here. And they said right on them, they said, certified placebo formula. And I'd show it to them and I'd say, well, we got this. And they'd say, well, how do I know this shit real? And I'd say, look right there. It says 100% certified placebo. And they go, oh, yeah, okay. And they shell right out. Bye. placebo. That sound for real.
Yeah, shit, nigga. That sounds like the real deal. Like, how many? Here's the thing, Mr. Asmodel. How many other niggas you told about this great deal you got going on here? My.
Well, got and you. Then and the other thing that only they would do is on that same little rack. They had these little capsules that said Spanish fly, you know, and that back in the day, people used to say there was this stuff called Spanish fly that if you gave it to a woman, it would make her so unbelievably horny that she would just jump your bones immediately. And they said this, they said the same thing on it, but they would come in there and, you know, these worthless little pills in this little packet were like $20. And if they started, if I could tell they were suspicious of it, all I would have to say is, look, man, I'm going to give you these. Don't be going around telling your friends about this shit. Keep all that pussy to yourself. Give me 10 of them.
Well, shit, nigga, I promise, boss man, I won't say nothing. I promise, boss man, I won't say nothing.
I've been saying for years that we need to, like, meme it to these people that getting a vasectomy will make them bigger and last longer. And like put it on billboards and shit in like Detroit and Africa and shit. So they'll like be beaten on the door wanting a fucking vasectomy.
What? Well, you know why the nigger wore a tuxedo to his vasectomy, don't you?
No, tell us.
Because if he's going to be impotent, he might as well look impotent.
Well, I will tell you what.
I love that joke.
As much as I fucking hate to do it, I wish I could keep this show going for another hour. But we have to wrap it up. We're coming up on 2 hours, and this is officially the longest show that we've ever done. Gonna run through you guys, get some closing statements from everybody. This was a great day. Mario, Johnny, my man, got anything you want to say?
Yo. Well, this was a lot of fun.
Closing statements? My ghost hunting nigga, what you got?
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. Love having Asmodor back on.
The number of fucking PMs I get on Gab, like, saying, you should just ask him if he'd stay there forever.
Right?
It's like, I fucking wish, dude, but I can't.
See, what we'll do, Larry, is we'll just keep having them rotate through, like, the Paranormies and then the removing the goalposts and then Hate House. It'd just be on, like, a constant rotation of all the shows.
Oh, and we'll just talk about niggers on all of them.
No, hey, exactly. Man. Literally, if I could, I would do a podcast with you every single day talking about niggers.
Oh, I hear you, man.
No, we need to have Asmodor on so we can debate the pit bull question. That's what we're
doing. Oh, God. Stop.
Don't.
There's no debate to be had there.
That's right, because it's proven fucking science. Pit genocide.
If you don't appreciate a vicious fucking animal that is able
to... You appreciate niggers? Is that what you're saying? Oh, my
no,
God.
No, no.
Pitbulls.
All right. Yeah. Let's not.
Are smart.
We're not going to start the pit debate.
We're not doing
this
that.
Could go on for hours.
Actually, I've never had one that was. So I mean, you know, I know that people want to debate about. Well, you know, just because one never bit you or whatever. But, yeah. I mean, there's a. It was a different when I was a kid. It was a different breed of dog. The same people did the same shit to, and. You know, like I said, I've got one right here, and she's a sweetie. And, you know, anybody wants to genocide my pit bull is going to have to go through me. That's all there is to it.
Well, Mr. Niggy, any closing statements, my man? What you got?
Oh, I think it was a triggering episode. I just couldn't believe the first story there about the fucking dolphin fucker, dude.
Well, you better believe it. This is Clown World, and it's what we live in.
And that's the 70s. That was like 50 fucking years ago, man. I'm just like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah,
what are people secretly doing now that they won't talk about? Jesus.
Yeah, we're fucking dolphins 50 years ago. Exactly. What are we doing today? And Asmodor, do you have anything you want to plug? Your show and whatnot? Daily Storm?
Well... Yeah. Well, the first and most important thing I want to plug, so listen up, young white men of good character, is the Daily Stormer Book Clubs. We have we've been having a program where we are vetting clubs and new members for about a month now, and we now, in just that short time, we have 20 officially recognized Daily Stormer book clubs around the United States. They're all on Gab. You can go to the listing service, which I believe is at listing service SBC, to check out all the different clubs. They're all listed there. If you're interested in either starting a Stormer book club in your area or you want to join a Stormer book club, email stormerbookclub@yandex.com for more info. And of course, you can follow me on Gab, the only place I'm allowed to have to social medias anymore, at Asmodor, AZZMADOR. And of course, check out the Crypto Report whenever I get around to making another one. And I've got my studio set up and everything, but I've been having really bad, as the people can hear, internet problems, and that kind of sucks for getting guests and stuff. So hopefully that'll be resolve soon and we'll be able to get the crypto report going again. Zyger and I have started our own little internet blood sports stream that you can see on the Crypto Report YouTube channel, which is just the Crypto Report, crypto with a K. And make sure and read the Daily Stormer. You should definitely, like, your smartphones, your tablets, your PCs, everything you got should all have Daily Stormer set as the homepage.
True. Hello? Oh, goodness. Hello.
Uh-oh,
Asmodor. The last thing I heard you say was to have Daily Stormer set as the homepage.
Oh, God, it went silent on everybody again.
Oh, God.
Can you hear me? Am I here?
Yes. Okay, the last thing we heard you say was everyone should have the Daily Stormer set as their homepage, pretty much. Which is true.
Yeah, and check it 100 times a day or else you'll miss something important. The only source of real news on the World Wide Web or otherwise is dailystormer.name, N-A-M-E.
Yeah, and if it weren't the only honest news source, then it wouldn't be getting fucking dropped from its domain every chance that the kikes can get to kick it off.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right!
That's right, motherfucker! So, I got a couple of things I want to say here. I want to thank Z from NC. You know who you are. You sent me $100, nigga, and that's gonna pay for some hosting on the hosting site that I use.
I thought sure you were gonna say that's gonna pay for some hoes.
Yeah, well, man, you know you shit, Asmodor. You know these niggas with their low time preference. I'm trying to get some pussy. You know what I'm saying? But I gotta thank Z from NC. And that's pretty much it. I got a song from a good buddy of mine. His name's Roger. He said to call him Roger. It's got a song we're gonna play on the way out of here. And pretty much just you motherfuckers should be reading the Daily Stormer because it's really the only site that you can get news from that really matters. That and I think the titles of the articles that Anglin and them put up are fucking hilarious. So you should be looking at these things every day, dude. Yeah, like six orcs come from Mordor and rape white woman or something like that. Yeah, they're great fucking headlines. But read that shit and listen to Hate House. Follow me at Larry Ridgway. Pretty much, yeah. Goodbye, motherfuckers. We'll talk to you next week.
Sure.
I had to bite my tongue.
Well, you're a kike. You got your Tay-Sachs disease. Well, you're a